From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Welcome, News OK listeners, to the tastiest podcast in the World Wide Web, all 24 of you. That's a big number. It's the Top Chef podcast. I'm your host, Dave Cathy, the food dude, Matt Clayton, and a very special guest, Jennifer Moniz. Welcome, Jennifer.
Hello.
She is the only Republican in the state that watches Bravo TV. So we've got that going for us.
Could be true.
Luckily, none of them will hear this. So we're going to start out by talking politics today. Nah. Let's talk about Seliger. No, we're kidding. Now we're going to talk about Top Chef Masters. That's what we're going to do. We had a very intriguing episode last night. We had some landmarks hit. We had, let's go through who we had. We had Michael Chiarello. Food Network and PBS. He's out of Napa Valley, and he was going up against Rick Moonen, who's from Vegas. Who else did we have? We had Lachlan Patterson, is that right, from Boulder, and Nils Noren from New York City, the token foreign guy. It seems to be kind of the deal.
The Swede at the French restaurant.
That's right. The Swede at the French restaurant. Who, what's he like to do?
Smoke everything.
Yes. And he made that abundantly clear with his numerous references to reggae, which I appreciated. That was really, you know.
Goes back to Sotomayor, you know, it was a theme.
And politics are back. It's beautiful. It's great. It's great. I love it. This is a great show already. But yeah, so, all right. So what do we have? What was our quick fire last night?
Junk food into dining.
Junk food into dining.
Fine dining.
One of the all-time greats. It was fantastic. And this is where we had our landmark. Rick Moonen, who very camera friendly, very passionate, you know, seemed like the kind of guy you kind of found, I don't know about you guys, but I kind of found myself rooting for him a little bit. And he did something that we're not sure because we were not true historians of the show, but... But we feel like it's never happened in that he didn't plate anything.
Zero on the plate.
Zero. What's the line from Animal House? 0.00.
And I never really thought I would ever quote Jeff Lewis from that horrible show. I don't even want to talk about the name of it because that guy... There's several words that you could use to describe him, none of them that I can use here. But... What did they have, 45 minutes?
45 minutes, yeah.
And I love that, yeah. Yeah. 45 minutes. I could have put something on a plate in 45 minutes.
And he was so mad. That was great. We should mention that the guest judges were Jeff Lewis from Flipping Out and his, entourage of weirdos. and so if anyone's ever watched the show, the guy is just amazingly abrasive and hard to... Please, where's my guacamole? Mm-hmm.
And apparently is a junk food aficionado.
Yeah. Every single day, the guy seems to... I mean, a lot of drive-thrus. I think that was his other... And so, yeah, so Rick Moonen, he chose corn dogs.
Yeah.
And he was unable to pull together... Four corn dogs? Is that what he was tasked to make?
Four corn dogs in 45 minutes.
Yeah. Well, it seems like about 30 minutes in, you would have realized, you know what? I need to simplify this somehow. Now, by no means am I a top quality chef or anything, but I like to think, okay, I'm kind of in the weeds here, as they say.
Yes, <that's> right. Maybe take the corn dog that was on the thing, cut it in four, and put it on a plate. just anything.
Well,
anything at all. The
fact of the matter is that, 5 minutes in, he was still stirring the batter for the corn dog. So I think that was a bad sign right from the
really
get-go.
Really bad. But and let's see. We had, Nils, I believe, was he the one? What was his?
Fried shrimp.
Fried shrimp that wasn't fried.
Right.
Really interesting. They seemed to like it. And
it was smoked, I think.
Smoked. Not fried. He did have a crouton. Which I like croutons.
Maybe in Sweden, that's
it's fancy. It's like crudite or something.
Yeah.
It's not a crouton, Dave. Come on.
Exactly. Unbelievable. But it looked great. But again, it was not so much fried. And Lachlan, he did the hot dog soup.
Yeah.
Kind of
some
thing.
Kind of sausage soup.
Yeah. Here's my hot dog. It's soup. No.
It seems like he realized about 15 minutes into it that he was like, you know what? I don't think this is going to work. So he did, because he was just going to do the sausage, I think.
Yeah, and he's like.
And then once he saw that they were still raw, he was like, I think I want to make a soup.
Yeah, that'll work.
We'll put the raw sausage in
I
soup.
I really wish I had not chosen the hot dog
I still can't believe you waited until last to bring up the fish balls.
Well, I got to save the best for last. The winning fish balls. Who knew? Which even Jeff Lewis was snickering as he stuffed another fish ball into his mouth and ate it.
There's probably a reason why they made them into sticks. Yeah, you know, right. Like they probably, like the first marketing was like, fish balls, that'll be easy.
Yeah,
oh, wait, maybe this isn't such a good idea. Let's make them into sticks.
You want 9-year-olds to eat fish balls?
Without their parents snickering. So we want the Republicans to buy this product. So
must be sticks. No balls.
No balls. No balls allowed. That's sort of the fish credo. So, but anyway, they were apparently delicious.
They looked good.
Yeah, they did.
I mean,
look good.
They looked pretty tasty, and I thought was like closest to like an actual thing that he had.
You could identify the inspiration on the plate.
Right.
Yeah, like a hush puppy.
Yeah, general. Really.
I mean, I'm fine with
it,
so.
Bring them. Yeah, a fusion of fish stick and hush puppy is what I call genius.
Right.
So that's good. And he made a better version of tartar sauce look like, so more kudos. So Chiarello, he got what? Three and a half, four stars?
Four.
Yeah, they really liked it. And the others, they just didn't care for. And of course, Moonen got a zero, the empty set. So he was pretty much screwed. For lack of a better term, before they went into the big deal, the big challenge, which was to create, how many was it, 300 or so, you know, some ridiculous number of plates, three course meal for 100
people.
So it was 300 plates that they had to produce. Now they were all small plates. It was for a cocktail party, so it was not quite as bad as they hoped. But the big kicker was they had zero help. So. Cook and plate all that food in a very short amount of time.
4 hours. Total.
Yeah, it was amazingly, Rick Moonen, who was unable to plate four hot dogs in 45 minutes, corn dogs in 45 minutes, was masterful in producing 300 plates in 4 hours. So
yeah, 100 like individually served panna cotta.
Yeah, which was amazing.
That blew my mind when he said that.
Yeah, I just need.
Because you just thought, you think, oh, well, he just did one big one.
And then, started scooping them.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's.
But
100
individuals, it's just like, wow.
At which point, one of the best quotes, I don't know if y'all do best quote of the episode
we
here.
We do now.
But with the panna cotta, you know, one of the judges said that it was set up just right so that it looked like the jiggle of a woman's breast.
Yeah,
that was the British guy.
I'm like, who knew that that's like, what a panna cotta was supposed to be like?
Wow.
And he's looking at, I can't remember the host's name right now. He's looking at her the whole time.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm comfortable.
He wasn't just looking at her. He was
Kelly.
Like staring into her soul.
that one's bad. Tied, I think, with the I don't like lawn cuttings in my dessert from Gale.
We were talking about the hat last night, and you know, I'm kind of over the hat.
She has to hide her identity so people don't know who she is.
That really does it. A fluorescent hat. It's like, have you ever? I don't know if I've ever seen anybody who is more reaching out for a free meal than this woman with her fluorescent hat. Yes, I am the food critic.
Especially
feed me.
In New York City.
Yeah,
I mean,
hello.
I can't imagine a lot of people are wearing big hats in New York City.
Yeah, sometimes you see the big hat and you think, oh, it looks like something out of, you know, Howard's End or something like that. But this just looked like something you picked up at Dollar General to.
It's like she had a bad hair day.
<You're right. laughs> but what we're referring to there is gelato, not ice cream, gelato that Chiarello made with the basil in it, which, yeah, you could see that could go wrong really easily, but apparently it was good enough.
It seemed like the desserts were all really interesting, which always, like on Top Chef, the desserts are always the most interesting anyway, because none of them can make them ever, always cracks me up, I think, actually.
Right, yeah, they don't do it, and so it's really difficult for them, and Chiarello, part of what
helped him out, obviously, besides Rick Moonen gagging it up in the first round, was his he's a guy who's on TV a lot. He understands how to entertain people, how to charm people, and I think, you know, that aspect, what he gains there is people don't want to dislike his food. They like him, so they want to like the food. And so he probably got a little higher marks maybe even than he deserved, because they didn't seem to love what he made. You know, they seemed to be okay with it, but not love it so much. Otherwise, I think that Nils, he was on his way, I think, until
if it wasn't for that,
they got
Lapsang Shushong.
Smoked
the smoked tea
bacon flavored
chocolate.
Yeah. Which, you know,
could be good.
Yeah, bacon, good. Chocolate, good. Tea. I don't know.
It's Swedish. It's fine.
Yeah, they smoke. We get it. We get it, Nils. You smoke. Yeah.
The thing he made with the little salmon and I don't know what the little green thing was that was like,
wow. Yeah.
From a creative standpoint and presentation standpoint, he seemed to win throughout the evening.
Yeah.
It sounded like a very fancy way that he cooked it.
Right. Yeah, he kind of created his own thing. And I think up until that dessert, I think, because Chiarello, I think, what do you have, 19 points?
He had a total of 19.5.
19.5. That's not like a...
I think that's the lowest so far.
Yeah, it might be the lowest number for a winner so far. So he was definitely ripe for the taking. But Lachlan, he was the young guy. He was the newer of the chefs. They didn't seem to really love anything that he did. Although, I'll tell you, short ribs on a little wedge of bib lettuce, count me in.
That strawberry frangipane or whatever it was that I cannot even pronounce that they said tasted like meat. I don't think that's ever a good...
You have to give the strawberries to make it taste like meat.
Yeah, put the recipe on. Come on. Maybe I could drop a few pounds.
Right? And then he also is the one that fried pineapple, which frankly sounded good to me but
too.
They seemed to think that was not a good thing to do to pineapple.
What was it they used to say on the In Living Color? Hated it. Yeah, they were not repulsed. That's too strong a word, but they really were down on it. They said it took away the sweetness, which is
There was a lot of reference to palates last night. That's the first time I ever felt like in this version of the show that they had gone overly critical of, my palate just...
Well, didn't you think it was just that one guy, the food and wine guy, and the other judges were making fun of him?
Yes. Yeah, there seemed to be a little bit of underlying tension with the weird... Because I got to tell you, these hosts, these judges...
Terrible.
They are terrible.
They're no Tom Colicchio.
No.
I understand why Tom probably doesn't want to get up there and...
Yeah.
Rag on his boys and stuff like that and all that kind of thing. But
bring him back, babe.
Terrible.
Yeah, this Jay Rayner guy with his jiggling breast comment and his horrible mole and his bizarre take on everything. And I said before, James Osland, his mouth is so bizarre the way it moves. It's just terrifying.
Last night, he had his lips pushed together and he looked like a cat. So it was very frightening.
Yes!
But apparently, he has a refined palate.
He's a talking catfish.
Very refined palate.
He seems like a nice enough fellow. I'm not trying to be hateful, but I just, you know, he's got a face made for radio or podcast.
And it seemed like there was an overuse of the word cook last night.
Yeah.
It seems like. And just judging from critics I've read before, when critics want to come on the high road and say, I'm a critic of you, they lose the term chef and start calling you a cook.
Yeah. You're a mere cook. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, because there was that little quick, Gail says, I would never have a knife at a stand-up cocktail party. He's like, oh, sure you would. You know, it's like, okay, what's going on here? And then there was that at judge's table. You know, the show, because we've talked about this before, the show is an excellent show, but it lacks drama that the other show had. So perhaps, you know, those three going at it in a big beatdown, that might have rose the level of the drama there. I don't know.
I don't know. I think the most interesting thing so far about Top Chef Masters versus Top Chef is it shows, since they're doing the same, you know, challenges, they don't seem much better than the other guys.
I know. I agree. That's Well, the fact that he couldn't plate, I mean, that's amazing that those guys with far less experience, you know, are able to pull that stuff off. The only thing could be one thing, and they've pointed this out before, some of these guys are not on the line anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's a shows. Lot of them. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, like Chiarello, though, of course, he did just fine. So, and of course, he has advanced. And so now we have one more show before the big big. I guess I don't know if they're doing it in one show or two. The final, maybe they'll do it in two rounds or something. Probably it'll probably be a two parter. Oh, but and one thing that I did find interesting last night, you know, it's been a big deal. Bravo has lost Project Runway to Lifetime. And it was ironic that last night, because Lifetime right now is in the middle of a big push for the show. And the reason I know this is because my wife watches Lifetime all day Sunday. And, and the commercials, it was these, they were just on over and over and over, all these, you know, the Project Runway is coming soon and all that. So Bravo took the opportunity to show, here's the real Project Runway stars. Mm-hmm. There were a couple from one of the seasons at the party last night.
Yeah.
So it's like their, maybe like their little underhanded way of saying, we own the show still. So
that was funny, actually.
Yeah. Interesting. But yeah, so we got at least one more show before the big showdown in our
three guys, two women.
That's right. Rick.
One slot left.
That's right. And Rick's just waiting for him with his tongue in one hand and a meat cleaver in the other. So we're looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to next week's show. So until then, we'll be seeing ya.